Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. For the past several weeks, we've been listening to vineyard parables of Jesus. The setting has been Jerusalem, and our Lord is very close to his death, Matthew 20 and 21. This Sunday, we are even closer to his death. We move into Matthew 22, and while the setting is the same, he's in Jerusalem, there's a big difference. The parable today is not of the vineyard, where the work is evoked, but rather the wedding feast, the banquet, and the people are invited. That difference is significant. Note well two things. Number one, for this banquet, the work is already done. The fattened cattle, the calves have been slain, all is ready. And therefore, all are invited to the feast. There's certainly a sense here of fulfillment, of readiness, even of consummation. All the preparation, all the excitement, all is ready. And number two, this isn't just any banquet. This is a father's banquet for his son. This, in fact, is the wedding feast of the Lamb. This is the story of God the Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus, who is with us. God's plan, which has been prepared from the beginning, has been faithfully accomplished in Christ. All is done. All is ready. The only thing left now is the invitation and the response. God is with us. But now, it's us with God. It's fitting that at this high point moment of all being ready, the consummation of the banquet, that we hear imagery of mountains. The first reading today is from Isaiah 25, and we hear of a mountain. Mountains are apexes of geography, high points. And Isaiah describes a mountain that from which will come juicy, choice wines and rich fruit. In fact, from this mountain, death would be destroyed forever. The web that's been woven over the nations will be undone. That mountain, of course, is the foreshadowing of Mount Calvary, that very real place where Jesus indeed would destroy death, where he would reconcile the world to himself through his perfect obedience to God his Father. And on Mount Calvary, we finally see perfect love, a son's love for his Father, a son's love for the mission, a son's love for us, and the Father's pride. That love, of course, has been poured out upon us. Jesus told us that it would be from that mountain that he would draw all people to himself. Each and every human being that has ever lived or will ever live, including us. And is it not true that that is the case? That of all the crucifixions, and there were many crucifixions, this one, this son, this man, is different. In his suffering and death, we find a hope, a refuge for every suffering and death, for every betrayal and injustice, for every hurt and wrong. We find in him that refuge, a communion, a strength. My friends, such is the banquet of the Lamb. Two things to note. Number one, the magnitude of this feast. You know, when it comes to the person of Jesus Christ, his life matters. and it matters very much. There is no one else like Jesus. He's God. And he truly did become one of us. And through his perfect love for the Father, his perfect love for us, he saved. He redeemed. In him we find salvation. The nearness of God. You know, this is very remarkable. And we are either with him or not. We are either people who have accepted the invitation to his feast or not. We are people who are either in communion with God or not. The magnitude of Jesus. Finally, take note as well of the order. You know, when it comes to the life of Christ or the life of any one of us, so often we begin in the beginning, the conception, and we move through the timeline of one's life to the end. But not the case of Christ. Do you ever notice that in the story of Jesus, neither St. Mark or John ever mentioned Bethlehem? But each of the Gospels mention his death and his resurrection, the great event, the great banquet, the great apex of his life. And it's from there, it's from that end that Christianity begins. It's because of his death and resurrection that we have the promise of life and love. It's because of his faithful obedience that we can have union and salvation. It's because of his self-gift that you and I can be a gift to others, no matter what. My friends, this is magnificent. And amidst all of the disorders in the world and in ourselves, the gospel invites us to right order. And it begins with the banquet of the Lamb. It begins with his victory. And it's communicated and shared outward from there. My friends, as this new week begins, as we move deeper into the fall season, and it's darker both in the morning and at night, as we see the darkness of world events this week, what could be described, I think, accurately as the unfolding of World War III, let us take note of the magnitude of Christ and the order that this feast provides. Is it not interesting that in the last hours of his life, Jesus celebrated the Eucharist? This is the feast. This is the victory. And my friends, realizing this, reverencing this, being about this, has such great power to save, to bring us into full communion, to bring us into right order, to bring us into God. The banquet is ready. There's not anything more that Almighty God can do for us that he hasn't done. But how much more might be done this week if we decide with him and in him and for him? How much more can be accomplished in your life, in my life, in the world, this week, if we accept his invitation to greater communion? My friends, I'd encourage you to do that. Read Matthew 22. Hear the call and the invitation of the Father. And be sure to answer it. For anything else would be a life lived in vain. May God bless us this day.